That is the one-hour program that follows the talk show, and it is program number 631. It's January the 9th, 1983. For those of you who subscribe to the tape, there's a printed sheet, a bibliography that goes out with the program. I jumped a week and dated it 632. So when you get your cassette, I'd mark the calendar off by one number for January. Just, I should have known better. It's just 2 weeks in January. I'm off to a pretty good start, right? So just take your little pen and mark it, broadcast number 631, and I'll be back on course next week. I guess I can figure that one out. I do want to tell you that the year that we cover, usually 1 year in advance, is so full of news, and I'm just going to take one item tonight and maybe go back to the other things that I usually do. I go through a few items that we talk about what happened a year ago and where we are tonight. I'm just going to share with you the information we were talking about Thomas C. Reed. That was Reagan's special assistant to the National Security Council. And just last year, he was put on the carpet. He had been hired by William Clark. He lied to the Security Exchange Commission on stock that was backdated. He had information to make a profit up to $427,000 in 48 hours. The paper was forged. He made up the information and used another person's name. And he was a person that was spoken about to become the national security chief in case William Clark stepped down. Clark stepped down just recently, and he didn't become the chief. But that was one of Reagan's scandals, and I want to go into them more tonight. There's a lot of news, but I'm going to narrow on that and a couple of other important subjects. Now, about Ronald Reagan and these scandals and going into his scandals, I don't know if any of you saw the television coverage this week of the president of Argentina opening up the corpse, the graves and the corpses in Argentina of approximately 30 to 40,000 people that were missing that had been murdered. And I want to emphasize the importance of one person overturning another official in election. And this is very important with all the brouhaha of Jesse Jackson. And I'm going to do detail on that next week and not much tonight, although it's in the news this week. A new president came in Argentina, and he had to do something very grim, something painful, something ugly. He charged the three former presidents of the country with murder, torture, covering up murders. He's arrested the three former presidents and is now not allowing them to leave. Now, is it bad to open up the wounds? No. That is the only way that these problems that I've been talking on the air about for 13 years, it is the only way this country can avoid a duplication of Nazi Germany, terrorism, and death squads such as the people in Washington are funding all over the world, and particularly right now, even in El Salvador, the worst. What is the alternative? The alternative is this total fascism. I don't want to be so grim, but I can't see any way out unless we get some evidence out on those people, Richard Nixon, Gerald Ford, Ronald Reagan, and Jimmy Carter. Carter for the mass graves at Jonestown and locking up the lies. Richard Nixon for his complicity in the murder of John Kennedy. Gerald Ford for covering up the assassination of John Kennedy and for covering up Jack Ruby, who wanted to tell him what happened and they wouldn't let him. Ronald Reagan for his death squads around the world and his funding murder and for his refusal on the Rockefeller Committee to investigate the murder of John Kennedy and the refusal to extradite a witness, Mr. Bradley, down, co-partner with Reverend McIntyre, co-partner of crime at the time Kennedy was killed, and Jim Garrison wanted this Eugene Bradley. He wanted him down in New Orleans to open up that case. He wouldn't send him there, and Bradley was involved, or he claims he wasn't, but he should have gone to the grand jury and proved that he wasn't involved. Now, these men have funded through Henry Kissinger and Fritz Kramer the death squads from Klaus Barbie at Oberammergau, the top Nazis, to killing our presidents, our Senator Robert Kennedy, the civil rights leaders such as Martin Luther King, people like Malcolm X, And I have saved over the past years a series of filing cabinets, one for each letter. That's how many, five or six cabinets, A to Z, that I think were victims of death squads. Artists, writers, actors, all kinds of people, politicians, candidates, witnesses to trials, and they always have some common denominator that goes back there. And there was an article about Pinochet in Chile, how he keeps his power as against the election that changed in Argentina. That article came out this week. And the way Pinochet, put in by the CIA and John McCone, the ITT, and Henry Kissinger, and the Nixon gang, the reason he keeps his power is that the middle and the left are divided. You give them all something, divide them up, and then the dictator holds the electoral vote. So you can't get that person out. If you could get the Pinochet out in Chile and do what they're doing in Argentina and then go to Uruguay and Paraguay and on up to America or America and South America and then meet in the middle in Central America, you could clean up the horror and the pain. The people in Argentina can sleep tonight. They know where their husbands went, their sons went. They're digging the graves. As bad as it is, they know the answer. They know who did it. And they can look at the president they probably voted in or didn't vote at all and find out where the bodies went. Now, this trick of Jesse Jackson's was the most brilliant thing that Reagan could have pulled. And I'll go, as I say, next week we'll go into detail because I don't want to skim over it and there's too much to go into. But going back to Thomas Reed now, last year Ronald Reagan had a lot of scandals and Alexander Haig had stepped down when they came home from England, and there was Mr. Donovan, Raymond Donovan, Secretary of Labor, linked to organized crime, and Richard Allen, who left the National Security Council. But the forging of papers and the backdating happened to a man who was to become the National Security Chief. Now, just the past 2 weeks, I was listing some of the people and things involved with Ronald Reagan's administration starting the year that are under fire right now, and you can pull articles on them. I'm briefly going to mention the subjects. One was his appointment for the appeals court. Sherman E. Unger, U-N-G-E-R, is a judge, a nominee. The American Bar Association has stopped the appointment. This took place late in the fall. They said they hit Reagan's choice. They didn't want Mr. Unger. He insisted on nominating somebody not qualified, but a person who has done things questionable that should never have been appointed by him. Mr. Charles Wick made the news this week, and there's more to come out of those papers. A lot of dirty talk, a lot of gossip. The theory didn't do anything illegal. It's his state of mind. This is the head of Voice of America. This is the man who hires all the children of the top echelon of Washington, the children of the Haigs and the Kissingers or the Caspar Weinbergers, and puts the brats in to take over where the parents leave off, like Sven Kramer in the National Security Council, the son of Fritz Kramer. Wick, one of his comments, you know, was when Margaret Thatcher didn't go along with the invasion of Grenada, which happened to be a British territory, not American at all, he said she didn't support the invasion because she is a woman. They're sexist, they're racist, and they're crooks besides, and they're pathological liars, and they're gossips, and they betray each other. See, he may be taping conversation for the head of the arms control appointment, and then they can blackmail these people or turn the conversations over. We don't know what decisions were made by Mr. Wick on the basis of what he taped, even if it was illegal, not illegal, which he wants to get out of, and the president is supporting him. How are appointments made? By taping and blackmailing and so forth. Peter F. Vaira, V-A-I-R-A, was another appointment. Ronald Reagan wanted to look in the Organized Crime Commission, and he chose this man, a former official in San Diego, who then, after a lot of brouhaha, was forced to resign because of his link to organized crime and La Costa and Mo Dalitz and the whole network down there. George Sawyer, when it was just investigated, and that's going on, the story broke in December, he was formerly Secretary of Navy under Reagan with John Lehman, who gave no bid work for any contract so that hundreds of millions of dollars, going into the billions, goes to the friends and cronies, that's the Assistant Secretary of Navy, and of course the scandal broke just last year on John Layman and the Abington Corporation with headquarters, a chief boss in London and connection to the defense industry, the people that he was the lobbyist before, he worked for them, giving them contracts once he's Secretary of the Navy. I read that Rockwell International had so much profit, they had to decide where to invest it this year. Well, why should they make any profit off of a weapon? Each one should earn $30,000 or $40,000 a year and go home, and then you'd see that those submarines cost a fraction of what they do now. As long as there's a profit, they'll make a profit. Michael, these are people around Ronald Reagan at the present time. Michael David Miller. Now, he's the fellow that raped his mother and murdered his mother. Mr. Miller is the attorney for Ronald Reagan in the same law office as William French Smith. The murder trial's going on, and the lawyer said that it seemed this kid had ecstasis. That's total ecstasy for his mother. And this is around the entourage. I often wondered the only time that Nancy ever looks happy, and I've never mentioned this before, is when she hugs Ronnie. I wonder if Ronnie and Nancy have that same ecstasis for each other, because the only time that woman really lights up and seemed elated is when she was photographed with her son, Ronnie. Otherwise, I've never seen that look, and maybe that runs in the lawyer for Reagan or in the family. Now, Paul Thayer is very much in the news, Deputy Director of the Defense Secretary. Stock information, again, I remember several years ago when Sadat was murdered, and I said that Gerald Ford, just days before, bought into Santa Fe, and that combined with Kuwait International, and he made thousands of dollars. If you look back on the back broadcast, a huge hunk of money that I said was inside information. Mubarak was with George Bush in Washington, and Gerald Ford would know to buy into Santa Fe. He made a killing of money just at the time we were going to invest and build in the Middle East. So the defense deputy director, defense secretary, Paul Thayer, not only is he involved in this inside information and these huge profits and contracts, but there are three women in sex scandal in Texas also linked in with him, and various mistresses. It sounds like the Chappaquiddick affair and the women that were at Chappaquiddick when Ted Kennedy was taken out of the running because of that event. Now, Federal Aviation Chief J. Lynn Helms quit his post just at the end of the year, December 24th. There were scandals around him that have to be opened up, so the Federal Aviation Chief is out fast, as some of these other people have left. Mr. Sawyer, when there was a question of contracts and scandals. Samuel R. Pierce from HUD, he fired his press secretary this last week, and that was an important story. Reagan hired him. He's the black man on the cabinet, the selected man, Samuel Riley Pierce, representing the Department of Health, and Ronald Reagan put him as his handpicked man. Now, one of the big stories going right now is the stopping of news media across the line, that the news blackout is getting horrendous and really, really scary. Now, Jack Anderson had an article this past week, January the 7th, how the FBI decided, J. Edgar Hoover and the powers that be, that they would manipulate a man that was handpicked. He was a prosecutor and a judge from a prestigious law firm, and they would get the black man they wanted. They went to Sugar Hill, New Hampshire, and William Sullivan, that was his hometown, the director of Internal Division, who was shot at the time the House Select Committee was doing their investigations. And they go to Sullivan and J. Edgar Hoover, and they put their heads together and decide that they will pick a man. And the man they picked for housing and urban development, that Ronald Reagan chose for his cabinet, handpicked, turns out to be the same person who's involved now with firing a woman in her department because she is revealing things to the news media, and there's this tight blackout. So the handpicked cabinet member, instead of opening up the office and going into what is wrong with the office or the situation he's supposed to be clearing up, that Samuel R. Pierce is the same person that Ronald Reagan has put on a cabinet and that was handpicked by William Sullivan and J. Edgar Hoover years ago. The J. Peter Grace, another person appointed by Reagan, for the private sector survey on cost control. I'll do more in a few weeks on the expose just in the Washington Post and also in the Wall Street Journal on J. Peter Grace and Flick and the scandal of those organizations. And the Flick organization that represented Adolf Hitler and their propaganda machines and newspapers and worked right, it was the right-hand arm of Adolf Hitler. The Flick group gave $690 million from Germany to J. Peter Grace over in the United States. I call that the hands across the sea. The Germans and J. Peter Grace, of course, we've gone into his connections with I.G. Farben and Otto Ambrose from I.G. Farben and the extermination gases. J. Peter Grace is partners with a vicious Nazi war criminal who now runs the Opus Dei for the Vatican. But the point Otto Ambrose does and Herman Apps does, that's the Vatican banker. But J. Peter Grace has been close to Otto Ambrose, all of them from I.G. Farben. The other two are directors from I.G. Farben and they were Nazi war criminals at Nuremberg. Now, the Flick Company gave J. Peter Grace, Reagan's appointee, $690 million from Germany. Recently, Grace just merged with Used Tool Company. We talked about that, and now they've opened an office, Grace Ventures, in Palo Alto, California. Is that German money that was taken out of Germany to the United States to pay to Grace to begin to take over the United States? If you watch the way World War II followed, the money, the intent, the agents, hands across the ocean, moving into our intelligence community, forming them, the business people. Now the scandal in Germany is breaking open, even larger than the original case against Flick, with the $690 million that went to the J. Peter Grace Group. Edwin Meese was in the news just in the middle of the year in the fall. That was covered up. He, Edwin Meese, and Michael Deaver, two of the appointees and inner staff of Ronald Reagan, received loans that managed to protect their interest, $50,000 and $60,000 each. A man named John McKean gave them loans, and at the same time the loans came through, he was nominated as Reagan's U.S. Postal Service appointee on the Postal Service, and those cases were never resolved, or has Mr. Meese's escalation with his army titles. He keeps getting moving on up. I guess he'll be a top general soon. He gets these mysterious raises, so he's the one high military guy around Ronald Reagan. And, of course, William Clark was in army counterintelligence before he was in California, and then with the National Security Council. Now, there's a kickback case that came in the news the last week in December involving General Dynamics, and they don't know whether to give them any more contracts. Of course, they're close to the Ronald Reagan entourage. It involves the Secretary of the Navy, John Lehman's Trident submarine contracts. All of this breaking, lots of articles on these various subjects coming down at one time against Ronald Reagan, and for some reason or other, he still tops the polls, and everybody seems to love Ronnie. One of his appointments, Under Secretary of State Lawrence Eagleburger, to show you the minds of these people, besides Margaret Thatcher being a woman, so she didn't want that invasion. Pierre Trudeau went around the world trying to stop the arms race, and many of you might have read the quotation. He said, Pierre Trudeau's attempts to spur arms reduction talks were akin to pot-induced behavior by an erratic leftist. Doesn't that sound like the same people that were writing for Spiro Agnew a few years ago? Now, another expose to come on top of all of this is the March issue of Hustler. Larry Flynt has published the pictures that he has of Larry McDonald, and it's a total brilliant piece of commentary about America. It's too bad that he's incarcerated still in the federal prison in Springfield, Missouri. He'll probably be out by the time most of you get this tape and moved elsewhere, but that's where he still is, and there's a news blackout. Next month, you will see Larry McDonald. And what he has done is juxtapose the person who puts him down, the hypocrite, with the pictures of Larry McDonald in heat. And it shows him not only with his mistress and some very unkind words about them with their sex carrying on, totally nude, the two of them. But alongside of those pictures, he has pictures of himself, how he was shot and his spine. And then it says, here's how a good Christian loved his fellow man. And you see the body of Larry Flint, how he was shot, and Nelson Bunker Hunt with Larry Flint, and with him in Germany, Larry Flint, with the top Nazi of Germany, Franz Joseph Strauss, and Larry McDonald, sitting at the table with Strauss, and Larry McDonald with Falwell, Reverend Falwell. Then it shows him in positions that are unkind, but really a person deserves when they're going to pick on the lifestyle, say, of Larry Flint and his pornography and his habits, and you're the president of the Birch Society and you have a computer that goes into the Los Angeles Police Department where you're sending it over to Germany and Vienna and keeping tabs on law-abiding citizens, it's about time that somebody come out and say, look, here's the real Larry McDonald, you hypocrites, because too many times we laud these people as the heads of organizations like the Birch Society or working with the Pentagon and the CIA, and the hypocrisy and the mingling of the bullets that they shoot at other people who have not committed crimes, and then they go ahead and behave in a way that they pretend they don't even know these things are happening. So these pictures will be out on the stand next month, and that's another, besides some of the scandals. There was a big article, several in the Sacramento Bee at the end of the year. Paul Laxalt skimmed during ownership of casino. Large articles that I'll do in detail with you about Ormsby House, the hotel casino, and how he was linked to the notorious mob figures in Buffalo, Detroit, and all over the world. Paul Laxalt is the liaison to Congress of Ronald Reagan, and Paul Laxalt is the GOP fundraiser. You can raise a lot of funds if you skim those tables. And this is breaking in another part of the country. It's not as prominent as the Thayer story, but or the Charles Wick story, but it has a lot of potential if it keeps bubbling open. And then Rebel magazine, the next issue of Rebel, the second one, has an article, Who Killed Vicki Morgan? And there's a section there, Bill Turner writes about Vicki Morgan, and I'll do some details on this, and Don Fried writes about Alfred Bloomingdale working for Ronald Reagan's Intelligence Committee. He had two appointments, the Foreign Intelligence Advisory Board and the Commission on Public Diplomacy. Then it tells Reagan's links to John Rosselli, to crime, union busting, smashing Cesar Chavez. A lot of these things you know by hearing me on the program from week to week, but these now are going into national magazines that Larry Flint just got out. The Catholic Sovereign Military Order of Malta. Bloomingdale is a Knight of Malta, as well as working with the far right wing, the American Security Council, and the espionage. He works at the highest levels of American spy system. He carries on with a floating whorehouse of women that Vicki Morgan was used for, transported all around. There's sex, there's betraying your wife, cheating on your wife, there's murder, there's organized crime syndicate, and this is breaking in a national magazine that's on the stand now with a mole on the cover. One interesting thing in this article, this is where the article should have begun, it was by Bill Turner, it doesn't mention much more about it. He leaves sort of a bomb here, and mentions that Vicki Morgan's father worked with Robert Vesco, and had dealings with him. He said her father, Delbert Morgan, who, according to Vicki's one-time attorney, Paul Caruso, was burned badly by Robert Vesco. In order to be burned by Robert Vesco, you have to work with Robert Vesco. That's where the story begins, because Paul Caruso was the attorney not only for Vicki Morgan and her family, but for Sue Atkins of the Manson family. This Paul Caruso was the attorney for the Manson family. Now, Marvin Pancoast, let me get this clear, so we do more on it later. Marvin Pancoast, the man who has been charged with killing Vicky Morgan, said that he was in Sharon Tate's house, and he suggested the night of the murder. Now, Vicky Morgan, a friend of Pankos, has the attorney, Sue Atkins, from the Manson family as her attorney. Now, Dennis Wilson, and I'll do more on that next week, who helped form the Manson family, the only Beach Boy who was part of that, was murdered just last week. Next week, I hope to do Jesse Jackson and Dennis Wilson and those, the murder and the charade of Jesse Jackson for the political game playing that they're doing. Those are two big stories, but they deserve a half hour each probably on their own. But there is a link of the Manson family, of the entire, the whole Charles Watson, and the Beverly Hills attorneys, and the CIA, and Ronald Reagan, and the defense group. There were Defense Department people, people from Vietnam brought into the Manson's family to teach the shooting and all kinds of activity from the Vietnam War. It was a COINTEL operation, but on the border of these cases are stories coming out now that if they go one step further, they'd get their toe into the American counterintelligence operation that has been going on in the United States, not overseas. So that Marvin Pankos trial is about to come up, and the Rebel article is very good on who killed Vicky Morgan. Now, Ronald Reagan is trying to pass this off with some good news media. There's an article Helen Thomas had, Reagan is a happy man. If you add up all of these stories, this, who tells them to write these things? How in the world can you be happy? Also this year, there were the scandals of his friend Johnny Carson, Johnny's wife, Janet DeCordova. His producer's wife is Nancy Reagan's best friend. The scandal of that Commercial Bank of California and the mob connections, Betsy Bloomingdale scandals coming out. Another article, a select list for the Reagan party. Well, the New Year's party at Annenberg's this year was like a war council. You had Caspar Weinberger, you had Charles Wick, who was embarrassing the president, William Wilson, the controversial new ambassador to the Vatican with all the Vatican scandals that are going on, William Clark, George Shultz, William French Smith, with his attorney's, his partner's son, just about to go to trial. It was George Shultz, this was a war council. That New Year's Eve party was more a meeting like they did 3 days before the invasion of Grenada. It had more to do with the coup in Nigeria that was taking place at the same time. Another loss of democracy, a fellow new president of Nigeria, trained in Great Britain and part of the Kissinger-Carrington coup. He's going to do away with the courts and the elections. We'll do more on that. That New Year's Eve party at Annenberg's was more a war council of, well, how do we cut our losses and look happy, than it was a celebration this year. I didn't see any Jerry Baby Zip Zipkin there or Betsy. Maybe they were there. There was a big party. They might have all been there. But the names in the news were the head of the national security and so forth. Now, I mentioned several weeks ago, oh, it was 2 months ago, actually, some more parties in Washington, D.C. That was broadcast 617. That's the one that Larry Flint sent. He sent two, and this was one of them, to every member of Congress. And I was telling about a macabre party that Roy Cohn had when he moved his some office or a new office. I'm sure he keeps one in New York, into Washington, D.C. Roy Cohn was the attorney for Alfred Bloomingdale, who had just died earlier, at the end of the 1982. But he was having a party in Washington, and he had represented Alfred Bloomingdale. And at the party was Marvin Mitchelson, who flew in from England, who was the attorney for Vicky Morgan, who had just a little while earlier had her head split open. And at the party was Richard Vagary, the head of the Birch Society, who had just lost his captain, Larry McDonald, into the ocean just about a week or two before. And all of them had this made note of the social sections in Washington. They were having these parties. Well, just this week, Richard Vagary in the Washington Post said he just bought into the Showbiz Pizza Place Incorporated, This was a franchise of Alfred Bloomingdale and Vicky Morgan. She wasn't broke. She had money in the pizza parlor. And just this week, he bought into the Showbiz Pizza. He said he's interested in the defense, in taxes, and national issues, so he may as well sell pizza and beer at the same time. That's a pretty good combination, and maybe that Showbiz Pizza is part of an organization, an international group that with Bloomingdale and Vicky out, Vagary, who takes care of the mailing list of all the right-wing captains in the country, such as Strom Thurmond and Jesse Helms and Western Goals, McDonald's Western Goals and the far right. He's the pusher for the far right, began with Young Americans for Freedom, organized in 1960 and used when John Kennedy was murdered. He's now into the franchise that Alfred would have if he were alive and Vicky would have if she were alive, but Vagary and Roy Cohn are alive, so the pizzas keep rolling on. I'll take a one-minute break now and go back into some more of these scandals.